Just want to take a few moments tonight to turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and I'll read to you the first 13 verses. You may have seen on Facebook just what I'm about to read to you. I had prepared the greater part of the message for tonight when I ran across this, and I just immediately stopped and said, Lord, thank you for the introduction that I had not yet thought of. So here is the introduction. I was in Dollar Tree last night, and there was a lady and two kids behind me in the long line. One was a big kid, the other was a toddler. The bigger one had a pack of glow sticks, and the toddler was screaming for them. The mom opened the pack and gave him one, which stopped his tears. He walked around with it smiling. But then the bigger boy took it and the toddler started screaming again. Just as the mom was about to fuss, the older child bent the glow stick and handed it back to the toddler. As he walked outside at the same time, the toddler noticed that the stick was now glowing. And his brother said, I had to break it so that you could get the full effect from it. I almost ran because I could hear God saying to me, I had to break you to show you why I created you. You had to go through it so you could fulfill your purpose. That precious child was happy just swinging that unbroken glow stick around in the air because he didn't understand what it was created to do, which was glow. There are some people who will be content just being. But some of us that God has chosen, we have to be broken. We have to get sick. We have to lose a job. We go through a divorce. We bury our spouse or parents or best friend or even child. In those moments of desperation, God is breaking us. But when the breaking is done, then we will be able to see the reason for which we were created. So when you see us glowing, just know that we have been broken, but healed by His grace and His mercy. Father, thank you for creating us and then not leaving us unto ourselves. You mold us, you fashion us, you form us, you make us into the image of your dear Son and our precious Savior. And there are times when the blow of your omnipotence against the chisel of your divine sovereignty hurts us. And perhaps even causes us to cry out and not understand. But tonight, I pray that you would help us to trust you more and to recognize that if we suffer with you, we shall reign with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Each week I place at least a skeletal outline on the front of the handout. This week, most of the message is there. I just want to mention these nine things and move quickly through the list. But I made sure that we put what we did on this handout because I'm very hopeful that you'll put this in your Bible. Because every one of us who are God's child, we have suffered, or we are suffering, or we will suffer. We have been broken by the circumstances of life, or we're in the process of being broken, or if not, one of these days we will be broken by life itself. So let me move through these. When God moves in such a way in my life and yours that it's difficult to understand, and we cry out and say, "Oh, my God, why?" We need to remember just why he breaks us. Paul said this to Timothy, "I am suffering in the gospel for the sake of the elect and for the glory of God." Now, that might not mean much to you when you're broken and you're in pain and you're going through difficulty, but listen to what this man said. "I don't count myself as worthy. When I am suffering, I endure, I even embrace this suffering for the sake of those who have yet come to Christ and for the glory of my God." Listen. When the world sees you and all is well and you are laughing and smiling and they look and say, "Well, there's why. His world is perfect." There's really not much of a testimony in that. But when the world looks and you have been broken and life has pulled the rug out from under you, and you seem to be left holding the pieces, but somehow you have the peace that passes all understanding, that is a testimony. It is the greater testimony, the lifestyle of a believer who still walks by faith in the midst of the storm is the greatest testimony this world can ever see. You can brag about Jesus, and Satan said, "Why, sure, Job brags about you. He has everything. Why wouldn't he brag about you?" But when all has been taken away, and Job still says, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." When all has been taken away, and Job still says, "Yet in my flesh I shall see him," then people sit up and listen. So when you're broken, you just remember God has a purpose far beyond mine or yours. It's for the sake of the elect and for the glory of God. Number two. Remember that you're a prisoner of Christ, not of your circumstances. Look at chapter 1, verse 8, if you still have your Bible open. Paul said to Timothy, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." There is a known statement, a known question, how are you doing? And most of the time people would answer you by saying, well, I guess I'm doing all right under the circumstances. And then someone followed up with what we thought was a good statement, which was, we should not be under the circumstances, we should be above the circumstances. But here's the real truth. The circumstances ought to have little or nothing to do with how you are doing. You're not a prisoner of your circumstances. You are a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You are locked in to the omnipotence of God. You are who you are because of the handiwork of the Almighty. You're experiencing what you are experiencing because the steps of a good person are ordained by the Lord. You are going through what you are going through because there are no accidents in the lives of God's children. There's just divine providence. There's just the purpose and the plan of God coming to fruition in your life. So never think you are locked in to your circumstances. Just know that you are loved in to the embrace of Almighty God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Number three, this is very important ground. When you are broken, when you are suffering, when you are enduring, when you are experiencing, remember the things that you know to be true from the Word of God. Do you know what Satan delights in? When you begin to suffer, when you are in a peculiar and precarious circumstance, when your situation is not what you want it to be, Satan wants you to forget the Word of God. He wants to give you an internet to look at. He wants to give you a doctor's advice to listen to. He wants somebody to tell you how bad the circumstance is. But the Word of God is true in good times and bad times. It's true on the mountain and it's true in the valley. Do not doubt in the dark what you have learned in the light. When God has been real, when the Word has been alive, when He's spoken to your heart, when you've hidden it so that you wouldn't sin against Him, don't let the darkness cause you to miss what you learned in the light. Because the light of the Christian never goes out, even though the circumstances may change. Number four, remember to keep doing what you know to do. Well, what do you do when times are tough? What do you do when you struggle? What do you do when it feels like God is breaking you? What do you do when your experience is bad? What do you do when you've lost your job? What do you do when you've lost a loved one? What do you do when you're troubled? You just keep doing what you know is the right thing to do. Stay the course. Keep the faith. Persevere. The old Puritan fathers used to talk about the perseverance of the saints, and you don't hear much about that these days, but it is a component of theology that we ought to emphasize more and more and more. The true child of God doesn't quit. He doesn't throw in the towel. He doesn't turn his back on God. He keeps on keeping on. He walks by faith with trust in the Lord Jesus. He looks to Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. And if you think because you are a Christian, everything ought to always be perfect and pleasing, someone has told you an untruth. If you think that because you've trusted the Lord, there will never be a thorn on the bush, or there'll never be a problem in your life, you've been sold an untruth. The real truth is, the Christian may indeed suffer more than the unbeliever. because it is in the breaking of my spirit that His Spirit takes place in my life. It is in my weakness that I discover His strength. It is my failure that makes me appreciate His faithfulness. It's when I cannot that it makes me want to shout, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Just keep doing what you know from the Word of God you ought to be doing. Now, let me just pause for a moment. But what if I don't want to? Kill off your feelings and let faith take place. Don't go by your want to, go by your know-how. Don't do what you feel like doing. Do what you know God will bless because it's the truth of His Word. Number five, remember times in the past when God delivered you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. Let me go back to verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Most of the people in this room tonight are old enough to have already been broken in some area at some time in your life. A disappointment, a difficulty, a danger, a circumstance, a situation that you would have done almost anything you could have to have changed, but it wouldn't change. It stayed the same. It was a brokenness. Well, here's what you need to remember. You're here. No, you didn't get that. It didn't kill you. It didn't stop you. It didn't run you off. It didn't turn you around. You're here. Now, He's to be praised just because you're here. You've crossed the terrible sea. You've run a part of your race. You've looked the enemy straight on and cried out, thanks be to God, which give us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you forget young David. Saul tried to humiliate him and embarrass him and said, how can you, a boy, go up against a Goliath like that? And David said, I need to tell you something. Once a bear came into the camp, and God delivered me from the bear. And once a lion came into the camp, and God delivered me from the lion. And if God could deliver me from the bear and from the lion, this uncircumcised Philistine doesn't stand a chance because the battle is the Lord's. Some of us have got some bears and some lions in our past. And so while our human being flesh does not want to endure another breaking, if it comes, we can solemnly stand and say, the God who has delivered me will deliver me. Number six, rely on the resources that God has given you. Here's the most important resource that you have when you feel that God is breaking you. Here's the explanation. There's one question that kids always ask more than any other question. Why? And we don't get over that. We get to be 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. And we still ask, why? Why me? Why this? Why now? And this is the explanation. somewhere in all of these books and in all of these chapters, there is a very special verse for you at a season in your life when that verse is led by the Spirit to your heart. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. I have awakened on many occasions, sit down in my chair in the office or my recliner at home or the little office that we have there, and opened the Bible and read verses and thought, well, that was good. I appreciated it. Thank you, Lord. And I've closed my Bible and I've gone away. And then something happens, and I return to that same passage, and it breaks me, and it touches me, and it heals me, and it gives me peace, and I am overwhelmed by the fact that I didn't get that the first time. But the first time wasn't the time when the Spirit wanted to drive it home to my heart. I've read verses and thought little or nothing about them. You might say, what an admission. It's true, you have too. And then I have returned to those verses and shouted because God was speaking louder than an audible voice to my heart. My child, this is for you. David did the same thing. David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? But later David said, I will praise him, for I shall yet see his glory in the land of the living. This word is a resource. Oh my, prayer is a resource. We stray from the prayer closet when the sun is shining, but when the clouds thicken, the thunder rolls, the lightning flashes, and trouble comes to our lives, we find the prayer closet rather quickly. And it is in the prayer closet that there is that resource of speaking with God, the one who sympathizes and empathizes. You know the difference in those two words? You can sympathize with someone about something you've never experienced. But if you empathize with them, it's because you've experienced the same thing that they are going through. So it means you understand. You can sympathize and not understand, but when you empathize, you understand. Well, we've got a God who sympathizes and empathizes because he was tempted in all points like we. He suffered like we do when he was here on this earth. So he sympathizes because he loves us, and he empathizes because he stood right where we stand when the storm comes and the brokenness occurs. Don't leave out the precious Holy Spirit. If you read John 16, Jesus informs us that the Holy Spirit has come from alongside of the Father. And he uses this word, he's your helper. He's your paraclete. He's your comforter. He's your helper. And I don't think I'm doing an injustice when I say he's the one who comes in when everybody else goes out. He's the one who puts his arm around you and says to you, the Father's peace be upon you. He's the one who says, if you're having trouble walking, let me help you. If you're having trouble praying, let me help you. If you're having trouble believing, let me help you. What a resource we have in the Word, in prayer, and in the Holy Spirit. Let me move quickly to a couple other things. When you're broken, remember that you're not alone. It is obvious, I think, for me to say, because the presence of God is with you. And I do want to emphasize that, and I'll say it again. When you are broken, remember that the presence of God is ever with you. He never leaves, nor he forsakes. But now let me add a practical thought to that. the people of God are with you too. I have seen that myriads of times at Central Church, where a family or a member would be broken, enduring what almost seemed too painful to even imagine. And I've watched as friend after friend and brother and sister have come and surrounded that hurting one. And how many of you tonight can give a testimony it made a difference in your life when that happened? See what I'm saying? Where would we be and what would we do without a church home and Christian brothers and sisters? Yes, we believe in the presence of God. He comes because He's never left and He surrounds us. But don't forget the people of God. Now let me chase a quick rabbit. Some people are isolators. They isolate themselves when trouble comes. They don't want to tell anybody, maybe embarrassed, maybe just humbled, whatever, but they isolate themselves. Don't you dare do that. Folks can't pray for you if they don't know about it. Folks can't minister to you if they don't know about it. Folks can't come around and encourage you if they're not given the opportunity to. You are robbing God of a blessing you, and you're robbing people of being a blessing to you when you keep your hurt to yourself. Oh, you don't have to start a pity party. You don't have to describe in detail everything that's going on. There is a simple phrase, "I'm struggling. Would you pray for me?" And I will assure you that there are people in this church that will not take that lightly. You could hear our staff as we gather on Tuesday mornings. If you could hear them as they speak about the people and the things that we know need to be prayed over. If you could hear their prayers, it would bless your heart. It would give you encouragement to take the next step. It would fortify your soul and your spirit. So do not forget the presence of Christ, but please don't forget the prayers and the presence of other believers. Number 8, remember to walk by faith and in hope. Folks, listen to me. One of the days that's yet to come, all wrongs are going to be righted. All hurts are going to be healed. All evil is going to be defeated. All sickness is going to be conquered. All death is going to be dealt a death blow. All of the promises of the Word of God are going to come to fruition and be kept. Walk in faith. Lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. There is always hope for the child of God. The unbeliever is hopeless. The believer is hopeful. And there's always hope for the child of God. Number 9, verse 8 of chapter 2. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. What do you do when you're broken? You just remember Jesus Christ. You nor I will ever be broken as He was. Read Isaiah and his account of the crucifixion. Read the Psalms and hear him cry out, "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me?" We will never be broken as he was. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away. The Son of God came forth. Death was a done deal. And Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think I have forgotten that at times. I have looked in the mirror and seen all the issues, the circumstances, the problems, and the difficulties, and I have forgotten that He is alive forevermore. And added to that thought is this thought: if He's alive, so am I. Even if I die, He told Martha and Mary, I'll live again, because Jesus is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And even though we die, we shall live again. I don't know, maybe a handful in the room tonight who are experiencing brokenness. But I do think that what I've talked to you about is preventative medicine. If right now you're not going through difficulty, there will indeed come a time and you say, Pastor, that's very negative. No, that's just reality. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. That's just reality. If this were heaven, we wouldn't want to go to heaven. This is not heaven. And we do want to go to heaven. But maybe a handful tonight who are struggling. I hope you'll take these things and read and reread them and remember what the passage that I've read in your hearing says. And don't exclude that last one. Just remember Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. He was here when it got started. He'll be here when it's over. And if it's preventative medicine, then that's why I put it in print, so you can file it away in your Bible. Maybe take it home with you and put it in a safe place so that if any point in time in the future that comes up, you might be able to read and reread and let the Word of God, let prayer, let the Holy Spirit be a resource to you. We're going to stand together, and if you just need to come and pray, the altar will be open. Mike and I'll be here if we can help you. If there's anything at all that we can pray with you about, we'd love to do so. But if you just need a quiet moment in our altar to pray, I want to give you that time, and I want to encourage you to do just that.